Appreciate the opportunity to share a quick thought. I told Mike the challenge really, as you consider something like this, is narrowing down because there are so many great exhortations that we could give. But one that has been a thought of mine frequently through this year, it's actually found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's a time of trouble for God's people. Jehoshaphat is a king, and Judah is being attacked by the Moabites and the Ammonites. They are fearful. They know that a great army surrounds them, and they know not what to do. And yet here in a sometimes sadly too unfrequent occasion, they turn to God. And so the whole of the people, verse 4, gather together unto God after Jehoshaphat has proclaimed a feast there in verse 3. And so they want to turn and ask God for help. You can begin looking at the statements that are made, but I want to jump down into verse 12. As part of this petition, he says, O our God, wilt thou then not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comest against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. How often I've thought about that statement, that we apply that to our lives. There's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot that we don't know in times of trouble, but there's a lot that we don't know in times of joy. We come to the end of a year and we're able to look back on maybe challenges and blessings, and we're thankful for another year. We look forward and we have hopes, we have dreams, we have thoughts. We really don't know what faces us in a new year. Will there be good? Will there be bad? Will there be joys? Will there be heartaches? Will there be blessings? Will there be challenges? Probably all the above. And we don't simply know what a new year blesses us with or is going to bring our way if God indeed gives us that new year. But we can keep our eyes on Him. They turned to Him and said, you know what to do. We don't. And that certainly ought to be our attitude. I don't know what the new year faces. I don't know what challenges and blessings and opportunities will be given, but my eyes need to be upon God. I need to be willing to walk with Him. When they petition God, the prophet will come and tells them not to be dismayed. He tells them in verse 15, the battle is not yours, but God's, there at the end of verse 15. And so he tells them to go down against them, but verse 17, you shall not fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, or stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so, as you look at that account, and certainly again, encourage you to read more into it, but Judah looked unto God. And they faced with challenges before them, they trusted in God. And we can turn to a lot of things. A lot of people have confidence in a new year because maybe of their money or the job that they have or the friends that they surround themselves with or their family, and think these are the things that will carry them through. And yet we need to turn and look to God. To remember, as Jeremiah would state, O Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so I want to look unto God. Jeremiah 10. And verse 23, what we see when they did that is that they were blessed by God. God is going to deliver them. I hope that's a comfort to us as we remember, you go back through the pages of the accounts from creation to the book of Revelation, and hopefully we've seen it in our own lives, that when God's people will humble themselves and turn to Him, He does not abandon them. I appreciate Hebrews 10 that was just read, that idea of God is faithful. He will be there. And He was there for His people. The reminder that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1 and verse 17. God, who desires and is able to bless His people, still cares for us today. But then realize as well, as you think about that account in 2 Chronicles 20, their looking was not just in word, but in deed also. It wasn't just, God, here's our problem, you go fix it. But they were willing to listen to him. And what God told them to do, they did. If he had told them to march around a city as he did in Joshua, go march around a city. If he told them to dig pits that would be filled with water that the enemy thought was going to look like blood, go grab your shovel and dig some pits. If he says array yourself into battle and you go out and stand, get dressed and go out and stand. And that's what they did, and God would deliver them. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 17. We want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. A people that are going to know God's word and then go forth into the world, go forth into our daily lives regardless of what the year brings and do it. And then we also want to see that as these people were successful, they would also go forth and be thankful unto God. They would worship him. We need to be a thankful people. Praise God for all that he has done, all that he will continue to do for his people. And so what a fitting way has already been mentioned. I love kind of when this time of year falls around a Sunday, a Wednesday, and have extra opportunity to be with God's people. Praise him, be thankful, look forward to a new year, petition for blessings that might come our way from God. You finish out Colossians 3:17, when you do all that you're going to do in word and deed, according to the will of God, don't forget to give thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh yes, be instant or continue in prayer, but watching the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4 and verse 2. And so be a people that are going to set our eyes upon God. They're going to look to him regardless of what happens or what comes in our lives. And we're going to walk with him. And when we do that, regardless of what the year brings, we'll be successful in serving God.
The beauty of working together is amazing. And I'm reminded of the book of Nehemiah and how in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, Bible there teaches us that the wall was built, the entire wall, halfway. And the reason why is because the people had a mind to work. One thing that I'm very grateful for, to be able to work with you, and for the last 7 going on 8 years, y'all have allowed me to work with you. Been here that long already. And to see all of the great things that has taken place. I'm reminded of Nehemiah and the information that he received from Hanani on how the walls were torn down and the gates were burned. And Nehemiah responded in a very mighty and powerful way. He went to God. He prayed. He fasted. He cried. Yet he didn't just stay there. He went to work. He went to work understanding that God was going to pave a way, and he did. The king actually worked with him, gave him time off, gave him a letter, gave him the finances needed, put all the families together in Nehemiah chapter 3, working together, sword in one hand, hammer in another, even to the point where they were working together, facing their enemies. I think about the wall that they built. I think about 3 walls that we need to build and continue to build. Number one, we need to continue to build the wall of working together, striving together. In Ephesians 4:11-16, we understand that very powerful context of the church and how the church is working together, and God put the right offices in the church in order for the church to thrive, to strive, to be all that she can be. And all of us are striving to do that. Everyone had to do their part, according to verse 16. And so I have to ask myself, what's my part? Can I take on more? Can I have the prayer like the prayer of Jabez? God, give me more territory. Give me more weight. I can take more. I stopped and I thought about that. And all of us ought to be asking ourselves, what more can I do for God? How can I work more for God? I think about working together. We have Brother Rob coming in February. We have Brother Trent coming in September. They're going to be helping us work together, working together in evangelism, working together in exhortation, edification, building up one another. Brethren, we ought to be working together. Let's keep working together. Next wall we ought to be building and continue to build is securing mental toughness. Brethren, we need to secure mental toughness. When I think about mental toughness, the first person that came to my mind was Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 46, in his prayer there, we find him telling his disciples after they had been asleep on two different occasions, three. He told them, rise, let us be going. The enemy is awaiting. It's mental toughness right there. We need more mental toughness, even among us. We need more mental toughness. How do I obtain that mental toughness? The word of God. How else do I obtain that mental toughness? Fellowship amongst one another. Allowing ourselves to be encouraged, edified, even chastised. Brethren, we need that. But another person I thought about was the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 14, when he was stoned in Lystra. But he didn't stay down there. As a matter of fact, we find that the disciples hovered around him, and he got up and went and preached in the same place where they threw him out. Friends, that's mental toughness. We need to build that wall and keep building that wall. So we don't let the small things get us down. If anything, we ought to make sure that we are building up one another in the most holy faith. So as the shepherds here, as brethren, we need to be encouraging one another. But I was thinking about Paul when he said in Acts 20 in verse number 24, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. That's mental toughness. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've been there. When you think too much of yourself, you become mentally weak. But when you understand that your life is in Christ and your life is hid in Christ, as our dear brother prayed this morning, appreciate that in your prayer this morning, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and following, you become strong. Strong in the Lord. That's a wall we need to continue to build. And the last wall we need to continue to build is seeking to remain relevant in a society as the church. Brethren, we cannot become irrelevant. We need to continue to be relevant. What do you mean by that? We need to continue to be the place where sound doctrine is being taught. Preach those things that befit sound teaching. If at any time you find one of us as ministers, as elders, not teaching or won't come off a false teaching, you ought to say, no, we're not going to put up with that here. Why? Because our spiritual lives are at stake. And so we need to continue to build the wall as a congregation that loves one another through service, through encouragement, through edification, a group who embraces all people. One thing I do love about Ninth and Main, there are all types of people that come here. And I truly believe that all of them are embraced. I really believe that. At least we're trying. Here's the question. Are those who are being embraced embracing the ones that are embracing them? That's the question we need to ask. Because we're going to do our part as ministers, as elders, as the congregation to embrace all men because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But lastly, as we seek to remain relevant, we need to remain relevant as a church who people can run to for refuge. They ought to be able to run to us. Why? Because we are actually performing and acting and being the very thing that God desires for us to be. And so, as a place, as a congregation, as a group, as a church, as a people who are seeking unity, we hope, pray, and trust that all of us can do our part. Thank you for doing your part, Brother Royce.
I was afraid that they would just kind of trounce all over some of the things I had to say and not leave me much meat on the bone. However, I will say this. I've got a couple of other thoughts along with what they've said I think are great challenges for us. But one of the areas that I want us to continue to be challenged in, and notice what I said, continued. Because I believe we've been accomplishing these things. I think we've been doing these things. But what I want us to do is to have a mindset and an attitude that going into 2024, that what we have done in 2023 and even in 2022 and on back, that we keep growing off of, we keep building on. And really what came to my mind as I was thinking about a few things just a bit ago was 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the Macedonians. Because y'all remind me of the Macedonians. You really do. Notice in chapter 8 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Yes, they were poor. They didn't have much. But you know what? They had great liberality about them. How do we know that? Verse 3 and following, "For I bear witness that according to their ability," yes, and beyond their ability, "they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." I've been just absolutely amazed to see how much y'all give. And I'm not just talking about monetary things. Now, yes, in the last month plus, the elders have been astounded. We keep shaking our heads, giving God the glory, but knowing that it's because of your love for the truth and your knowledge that, and your understanding that the work of the church continues on in this old world that we live in, oftentimes because there are monetary needs. And that's why we're commanded to lay by and store up on the first day of the week. Work may continue on. But your sense of urgency, as Paul would write, what is seen in how much you love and how much you appreciate. And my challenge for all of us is for us as Christians, as members of the body of Christ here at 9th and Main, to continue on, keeping on, and keeping on in this great work that we're doing here. We have so many great works that we reach out to our community. So many great works that we reach out to the people around about us because you love lost souls. You care about people. Don't stop loving lost souls. Don't stop caring about people. You know, I think about, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Because the exhortation there was, and is today, by the way, "That which you find to do with your hands, do it with all your might. Put everything into it for the cause of Christ." I always maintain that there's always room for some improvement in us. I think that's been made, we've been made well aware of that. There's always room for some improvement. Let's look forward to 2024 and not looking back, but looking forward to what we can accomplish for the cause of Christ right here. And I believe that 2024, we will be even more blessed than we have been in previous years.